There's really two types of sugyas. There's a sugya of halacha, and there's a sugya of agoda. And each one has its difficulty. The difficulty of a sugya of halacha is, of course, calculations and the svaras and the different machleks in working out, maskanas, etc., etc. A gemara like the one we're about to learn, which is not halacha at all, it's all agadaic. The difficulty in a gemara like this is not so much the logic and the machleks, there's no machleks in as such. More, it's just very often agadaic gemaras are written in a cryptic manner, quoting psukim invariably from the Novi. And if it's rather cryptic and poetic, and therefore sometimes even just a simple translation of the words and trying to understand what's meant is itself very difficult. As opposed to Gemara's in Halacha, translation of the words is not that difficult necessarily. It's more putting all the pieces together. So either way, let's try and continue with the Sugya Nun Beis Amud Beis, and we'll try and make our way towards the bottom of the Amud. So we have been discussing at the top of the Amud, and also the previous Amud, a lot of discussion, agadeic discussion, about the Yetzirah. We mustn't, by the way, make a mistake. When I say there's a sugya of agoda and there's a sugya of halacha, technically speaking, every sugya in Shas is also halacha. Meaning, if Chazal felt it worthy, felt it necessary to put an entire omud in the Gemara all about the Yetzirah, it wasn't just of historical interest or agadaic mental stimulation. It's also halacha. Everything is halacha. You're supposed to learn lessons from it. Supposed to apply it, supposed to internalize it, supposed to make it very real. So it's also halacha as such. When we say it's not halachic, what we mean is not halacha in the typical sense. It's not going to be a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Lulav, or Hilchos Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or Hilchos Mizbeach, or whatever it may be. So we've been discussing much about the Yetzirah. The very last thing we said last time was, it says that you should drag the Yetzirah to the Beis HaMedrash. That is the ultimate and the best antidote to the Yetzirah. The Mesillas Yesharim gives this famous mashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in this Gemara and other places that I have created a Yetzirah and I've created Torah, which is the tavlin, which is the antidote against the Yetzirah. So the Mesillas Yesharim, in typically simple fashion, says, who on earth is going to argue? Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who created the Yetzirah, and he himself is telling you how to do battle against him, then who in the world is going to be the one to turn around and say, no, I've got a different strategy. I don't think Torah is necessary. It's like going to an expert doctor, he says, and he prescribes medication for you, and you're going to argue with him? Worse still, I'll give you even a better marshal. Imagine you get a virus on your computer. You worry this is going to kill off your whole computer. And you meet somebody and he says, listen, I'll tell you the truth. I was the one who put the virus there in the first place. I'm very, very sorry. If you want to get it off, this is what you're going to do. What are you going to do? You're going to argue with him? He's the one who put the virus there. And he is the one best equipped to know how to deal with it. So if he tells you, listen, the virus is ABC, and the way you get rid of it is DEF, well, only a fool would say, no, I'd rather go it my way.
I don't like to interrupt you. They're so evil, these people who created the virus.
Okay, it was only a marshal.
Hashem is different.
Yeah, a marshal. A marshal is always a simple story to understand something more profound. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that I created the Yetzirah for whatever reason. We discussed early on in the week. Ultimately, that gains us Olam Haba when we battle against the Yetzirah. But the very same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the Yetzirah in the first place also tells us how to battle against it. So it's a very simple equation. The stronger you are in Limud Torah, the more chances you have against the Yetzirah. It's as simple as that. I guess I might need to refer to some of your notes, as long as it's not a video recording.
Piggledy.
Okay.
Thank you. issue that we need for the moment.
Okay. Let's have a look at the Gemara. We reached, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara that says Rav Huna Romi Ksiv. The last word on the line is Rav. Rav Huna Romi Ksiv. Romi, literal translation of the word Romi, is to throw. Like we said this morning in Davening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Romo Vayom. He threw them, he hurled them into the sea. But metaphorically it means a contradiction. When you ask a contradiction, really what are you doing? You're throwing A against B. That's what you're doing. So Rav Huna Romi Ksiv. Rav Huna posed the following question, but it's not just a question, it's actually a contradiction. It says on the one hand, Ki ruach znunim hit'eh. Now, ruach znunim hit'eh, the word hit'eh means misled. To be toya. This is not to be mistaken with the word toya with a test, which means a mistake. So this is a reference to the Yetzer Hara. Hit'eh, misled you. V'ksev, and it is also written, bekirbom, it is inside of you. So, what is the contradiction over here? If I mislead you, I'm not you. I'm somebody outside of you misleading you. It's an external force trying to mislead you. But then, the suggestion would be that the Yetzer Hara is some sort of outside force trying to mislead us. Problem is that we have another pasuk which talks about the Yetzer Hara and it says, Bekirbom, inside of them. So is it an external force or an internal force? That's the contradiction. Says Rashi, Hisom mean, says Rashi, Taus ba'alma, merely, ba'alma means merely taus, being led astray. But the kirbom, mashma, notua b'libom. What does it mean, notua b'libom? Planted in their heart. It's not just merely happens to be led astray. It's something which is right, inherent, inside of them. So what's going on? That was the question that Rav Huna posed. So he answered, b'tchila hisam, u'levasoif b'kirbom. They're both true. It's a process. The Yetzer Hara begins as an external force. He ends up as an internal force, meaning it becomes part and parcel of the person. What does that mean, it becomes part and parcel of the person? He grabs hold of you. And he has you in his clutches that it becomes part of your very makeup. It almost becomes nature. Imagine, for example, somebody is a super-duper davener. Davens very well. So the Yetzer Hara wants to try and bring him down. So what does he do? Every so often he tries to do battle, and he tries to get him not to concentrate in the davening, to daydream. You wouldn't say that's what he is in essence. To the contrary, he's a super davener. He davens with tremendous concentration. But the Yetzer Hara, what does he do? He makes somebody's phone ring, he makes something drop on the floor, he plants an idea in your mind which you think you have to think about in the middle of davening. If he's victorious, then the next time round, it's easier for the Yetzer Hara to win. And the next time, even easier. The next time, even easier. Such that eventually, the person doesn't concentrate. He's not machaven in davening. He's got no kavana. So it becomes part and parcel, such that that now becomes his essence. That is his essence. His essence is somebody who davens v'lo kavana. Whereas in the beginning, his essence was somebody who davens with kavana, who happens occasionally to stumble. Now, it's become the opposite. It's a person who essentially davens v'lo kavana, if one didn't win the battle against the Yetzer Hara in the beginning. Omar Rava betchila karu holach. In the beginning, the Yetzer Hara is called a hoylech. What does a hoylech mean? A traveler. Ula basoif karu oireach. And then he's eventually called a guest. Ula basoif karu ish. The man. The balabos. What does that mean? That also reflects the process that we just spoke about. Shenema. Pasuk in Shmuel vayavei holi hoylech leisha asher vayachmoy lakachas mitzaynoi umibekaroi laasois loireach. So how does the pasuk begin? Vayavei hoylech, a wayfarer, a traveler arrived on the scene, and then it describes in the end of the pasuk as what? As an oireach. Uksiv, and then it says vayikach es kivsas hoish harosh vayase leish habo elav. He's then described as the Ish. This is the famous marshal, of course, when Nostanovi comes to Dovel HaMelech and he talks about the guests from outside town who visits, and he takes somebody's sheep from the poor man. So why did you take Uriah Achiti's wife, etc., etc. But we see over here the process over here. Initially, he's described as a hoylech. What does a hoylech mean? You wouldn't even talk about a hoylech as a visitor. A visitor means he is with me, just on a temporary basis. But if he's a hoylech, he's just a traveler. Maybe he just knocks on the door, but then he disappears. Oireach is an upgrade. He's with me, very much with me, not on a permanent basis. An ish means he's the boss. He's taking over the house. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what happens also to the Yetzer Hara. He starts off as a hoylech. He ends up being an oireach. And finally, he ish. Takes hold of you. Says Rashi. Hoylech oiver derech olof. He is merely just passing his way. Ve'enoi mis trip up, and then it becomes more permanent. And then eventually, he's the boss. It's almost impossible to escape his clutches. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Eiver Katan Yesh Loi La'odom. A person has a small Eiver, this is obviously referring to the Mokim Hamila, small organ in the goof, which he can choose, if he so wishes, to indulge in. However, he has to realize the consequences. Mar Ivoi, what does Mar Ivoi mean? If he starves it, it means he doesn't overindulge. The root of the word mariva is, of course, ra'av, which hunger. If he starves it, sova, we'll see soon, he will eventually be satiated. Must be yoy. But if he is in constant pursuit of satiating this aver cotton, he has to realize ra'av, he's going to be worn out. So, you have to take your pick. Shenema. As it is written, Pasuk says, Kemarisom vayisbo'u. What does that mean? Kemarisom vayisbo'u. As they afflicted themselves, vayisbo'u, such they were satiated. In other words, the less you indulge at an earlier age, the better you'll be at a later age. Says Rashi, Eiver katan gevio gid, the organ of the gid, which is the mila. Maspioi betashmish, if he wants to satiate himself with tashmish amito, with relations, roiv, he'll end up hungry. What does that mean, he'll end up hungry? Gufoi choser koyach. His guf will end up devoid of koyach, the roiv, and will be hungry, le'eis zikno, in the older age. But, the other way around, if he, as it were, starves himself, he doesn't overindulge, then, to the contrary, sova b'koyach sholem, then you'll have full koyach at a later age. The kids say, if he overindulged at a younger age, it comes at a price at a later age. Then you'll end up hungry. Whereas, if he was prepared not to indulge at an earlier age, then at a later age, he will be satiated, meaning he will have full koyach. Says the Gemara, second wide line. Omar Rav Chana Bar Acha Omri Bei Rav. It's a very, very difficult to understand Gemara, even on a simple level. Arba'o mischaret alehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheberaom. There are four things, or entities, or nations, or people, we will see, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted ever creating them. Which of course is very, very, very difficult to understand, theologically very difficult. What does that mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted? When we regret something, it means we made a mistake. Shame I did A, because I didn't realize it would end me up in B. Had I only known the consequences, I would never have done it. How can you say about the Rebbeinu Shalilah? Because Baruch Hu knows all of the consequences, and if he created it, obviously there was good reason for creating it. So what does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted it? As if to say, Kaviyachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a mistake, Chas V'Shalom? How do we understand that? How are we to understand that? Very, very difficult Gemara. But either way, there are four that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted creating. What are they? Ve'eluhein, Golus, exile, the fact that Klal Yisrael were in exile, Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted ever creating the entity and the concept of Golus. Kastim are the Babylonians. The Yishma'elim, as we know, the nation of Yisrael. The Yetzahara and the Yetzahara.
Didn't we just get through praising the creation of Yetzahara?
So, as we said, it cannot be literally translated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets the creation of entities. There's no such thing. So there are various interpretations. The Maharal explains that what it means is none of these things have a tachlis in and of itself. They are all just mediums to a cause, like you said. The Yetzer Hara is essentially a bad thing. So why do we say that to an extent it's praiseworthy? Because it happens to be, if you battle against the Yetzer Hara, then you will end up in Rabbah B'Seder. So what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, whoops, I made a mistake. Rather it means that they have no real right to exist independently. The Yetzer Hara, if not for what it could do, and the Yetzirah is essentially a bad thing because it distances a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you battle against it and you're victorious, then it can be a wonderful thing. If you remember we quoted a Medrash early on, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Bria and you saw it was Toiv Ma'oid. So Chazal, what does Toiv Ma'oid mean? Zeh HaYetzirah. Why is the Yetzirah Toiv Ma'oid? The answer is because if you overcome it, then it's a wonderful thing. That's how the morale explains. Either way, let's now back these up. Says the Gemara, Golos. What does it mean, or where do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regretted, as it were, creating Golos? Tichsiv, because it is written in the Pasuk, in Yeshayah. Va'ato, it says, Mali poi, Nu'um Hashem, Ki lokach ami chinom. What does Mali Poi mean? And now, what have I got here? Mali Poi. Poi means over here. What have I got here, says Hashem, that my nation are taken away for chinom, for nothing? Which sounds like, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the Golos, as it were, being pointless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets it. Kastim, the Babylonians. Tiksiv, it's another pasuk, it says, Hain, behold, Eretz Kastim Zeha'om Loihoya, the nation that wasn't. What does that mean, the nation that wasn't? But they jolly well were. I.e., what it means is that they weren't, the nation that wasn't, I wish it was that they wasn't, that they didn't exist. Third one on the list, the Yishmo'elim, it says, another pasuk in Iyud. Says Yishlou Oyalim L'shoydedim. Oyalim is of course tents, the tents of bandits or robbers, Yishlo will prosper. Ubatuchois lemargize keil. And those who provoke HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abatuach, what does it mean Abatuach? They seem very secure, they seem just fine. The ones who anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu seem to be doing just fine. La'asher hevi eloika b'yod. Which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about with his own hand. In other words, these margize keil, these God angerers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I was the one who created them. And yet, they're the ones angering me. Why did I do that? Kaviyachol. And finally, Yetzahara, because it says, another pasuk, it says, V'asher Harei'isi. Asher Harei'isi, I was the one who caused, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, to be evil. I made him evil. So now we're going to elaborate a little bit. Om Rabbi Yechanon. Ilmole shalosh mikrois halalu. If not for the following three psukim, nismoitetu raglehem shalsteinehem shal Yisrael. Now we had this expression early on in the Gemara. Sometimes steinehem shal Yisrael can actually be a reference to Klal Yisrael themselves. Now this Gemara is extremely delicate. And we mustn't chas v'shalom misunderstand it.
What's
multitude? Smoitim is all collapse. If not for the following three psukim, the seineim shel Yisrael, which actually means Klal Yisrael themselves, would collapse, would falter. Meaning, we're now going to quote three psukim whose essence really defends and protects Klal Yisrael. Because if not for these psukim, Klal Yisrael would collapse. What does that mean? Chad, one pasuk it says, V'hasher Harei'isi. The pasuk we just quoted a minute ago. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was the one who caused the Yetzahara to be evil. What this means is as follows. A person is going to have to give Din V'cheshven after 120. So we all have a list of excuses, and we're going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, add a big Yetzahara. Now, the real answer is, say that, you should have overcome the Yetzahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives the Yetzahara to a person, then he can overcome. This Gemara, that's why I say it's very delicate, can be easily misunderstood, is telling you that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself admits that he is the one who created the Yetzirah, he is the one who made him evil, that is ultimately the protection of Klal Yisrael. Because I can turn around to my creator and say, well, you yourself said you made the Yetzirah evil, so what do you want from me? Now, why do I say this can be easily misunderstood? Because it doesn't mean we're going to come upstairs after 120 and bring Sukkah daf nun base on base and say, that's it, I'm all done and dusted, I'm just fine. Because the Gemara says it's all Hashem's fault, kaviyachol. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we would have collapsed. At least we have, as it were, some sort of partial excuse. We had a Yetzirah, and you yourself acknowledge that you created him, you made him evil. The first pasuk that says, V'harayosi. V'chad, another pasuk that says, Hinei kachoymer b'yad ha-yetzer. Just like the choymer, which is clay, is in the hands of the potter. So too, Kein Atem, you too are also in the hands of the Yetzirah. In other words, thank you very much, you've just helped me then. Because once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has himself acknowledged, just like a clay in the hands of the potter. I mean, he doesn't stand a chance. The potter is going to beat him black and blue, shape him as he sees fit. So who's the boss? The potter. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself writes in the Navi that is the comparison between us and the Yetzirah. Well, you've just gone and told me, therefore, that to an extent, I'm fighting a losing battle. And finally, the pasuk that says, "V'hasiroisi es leiv ho'evin." This is referring to the future. "Mibasarchem, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, V'nosati lochem leiv basla. And I will give you a new leiv, a leiv out of flesh. Ah, that means you're acknowledging that until now, what did I have? Out of stone. So how do you expect me to survive? I can't beat up stone. Rav Papa Omar, af mehai nami. Rav Papa says, I can actually quote a fourth pasuk, which is, as it were, a partial defense of Klal Yisrael, because it says, ve'ezruchi etein bekirbechem, and I will put my spirit within you. Which means that what? Until that happens, you do not have my spirit in you. So what do you have in you? Yetzer hara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu again has acknowledged. So what do we have inside of us? Yetzer hara. Okay. Now, because we just discussed the Gemara that talks about La'asid Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the Yetzer hara. If you remember, we actually discussed this in the last Amud. It says that they will shech the Yetzer hara, the Tzaddikim will cry, the Rishayim will cry. So now we're going to continue talking about La'asid Lavoi. It says in the pasuk, Vayar'eini Hashem arbo'o charoshim. Who's talking over here? Yechezkel. Yechezkel Anovi says, it's actually Zechariah. Zechariah Anovi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed me Arbo'o Charoshim. What does it mean, Arbo'o Charoshim? Four craftsmen. Again, it's all very agadeic and a little bit cryptic. What are these four craftsmen? Man, Niu, Arbo'o, Charoshim. We missed out a couple of Rashis. Oyalim, Lushoididim. Or go back, sorry. Golos. Shehigle, Es Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, regretted that he ever exiled Klal Yisrael. Loi Hoya, the nation that didn't exist, as it were. Well, they did exist. What it means is, Einoi Kedai. They weren't worthy of existence. V'halavai lo yhoya. I wish they wouldn't have been. Oyalim reshedidim. Elu aravim. These are the Arabs. Hashoychanim ba'ohalim. They reside in tents, the midborois, in the desert. V'royim mikne kol yimeim. And they shepherd sheep all of their days. V'ksiv tefer dekra. It says at the end of the pasuk, La'asher heivi kloyma. Who asked my HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Goram Loi, caused Hargozosai, caused them to anger him, Shehivim Boilam, because he was the one who brought them to the world. So these Arabs who are good for nothings, and they just caused people to anger Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I must be honest, I was the one who created them, I was the one who caused this problem, because I was the one who brought them into the world. Mali Poi Zuhi Charosa, this is regret. Asher Harayosi, Reisha Dekro, in the beginning of the pasuk it says, Oisvo Hatsoilo Vahanitcho Akabsev Asher Harayosi, which means, Ani Barosi Es Yetzahara. I created the Yetzahara Hamachtiom, who causes them to sin, the Goramti Lohem Kol Zois. And I was the one, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who caused all of this. Shloisha Mikrois, Hameidim, they all testify Shaha Avoinois, that sins, Vahazuchuyois, and merits are Beyodoi, Vatoichan Halavavois. It's all, these psukim talk about the fact that Averas are all, as it were, Kodesh Baruch Hu, or the Yitzhahara's control, Vatoichan Halavavois, and talk about the essence of one's heart, also testify that it's not my fault, I was given a heart of stone. Okay, back into the Gemara. So we saw that Zechariah was shown in a Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him four Charoshim. What does four Charoshim mean? Four crafts. What are they? Man, Ninhu, Arbo'o, Charoshim. What are these four craftsmen? Omer of Chana Bar Bizna, Omer of Shimon Chasida. I'll tell you what the four are. Mashiach ben David, Umoshiach ben Yosef, the Eliyahu, the Kohen Tzedek. Who are these four and why are they called Charoshim? So let's have a look at Rashi. Karoshim, says Rashi, umanim. What's an uman? Craftsman. Like we're going to read repeatedly in this week's parasha, and the parasha is coming, you build a base on Migdosh, the Mishkan Maise Uman. It's a craftsman's work. Mashichim, the Mashichim, plural, why the plural? Because the Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, Shneem Harashim, they are both craftsmen, Lebinyan Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Mashiach is described as the craftsman, because what does he craft? What does he build? He builds the Beis HaMikdash. Eliyahu, why is Eliyahu called a craftsman? Chorash Evan, he is a stone worker. Shebono Mizbeach Bahar HaKarmel, because he built the Mizbeach. Remember the story with Eliyahu Novi and the Nevi'im, and they tried to be makriv their sheep and nothing happened, or their ox, and then Eliyahu Novi was makriv his, and the fire descending from heaven. So he was the one who built, who constructed the Mizbeach Shel Evan. So that's why again we refer to him as a craftsman. We find Eliyahu Novi will eventually be sent to redeem Klal Yisrael. Finally, who is the last one in this list, the fourth and final craftsman, the Kohen Tzedek? Now, who is the Kohen Tzedek? Says Rashi. Shem ben Noach. Remember in the beginning of Parshas Noach, it says Noach has three children, Shem, Chom, Vayofes. Shem is called the Malki Tzedek. V'nikro Cheresh, or Chorosh. Why is he also referred to as a craftsman? Because it says Vayichazik Chorosh es Tzoireif. So if a pasuk that refers to him as a craftsman, it's not clear why. It says Rashi, Ubevereshis Rabo Mefarishle. The Medrash, in fact, explains to us B'malki Tzedek Shebo Likras Avraham Ubirchoi Vechizkoi. Remember the pasuk after Avraham Avinu did battle the four kings, the five kings. It says, Vayobay Malki Tzedek, and gave him Lechem, and Yayin, gave him a Bracha. Who was that Malki Tzedek? Shem ben Noach. So why do you call him a Chorosh? The Koru Chorosh al Shem Binyan HaTeva. Because he constructed the Teva Shebono im Oviv that he built together with his father. So all four, Mashiach ben Yosef, again, we're talking about Mashiach's times. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, Eliyahu and Shem ben Noach, all considered craftsmen, either they built the Beis HaMikdash or Mizbeach or the Teva. Says the Gemara, Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asks a kasha. What's the kasha? Ihochi, if this is so, Hainu Diksiv, how will you explain the pasuk that says, Eile Hakronois Asher Zeru Es Yehuda? These horns, this is the Malach talking, these horns that dispersed, Zeru is like from the Malach of Zeira, winnowing, that dispersed Klal Yisrael. Hani Leshuva Asu. These four people that we described, Eliyahu and Mashiach, what is their function? It's true they constructed, they built, but what is their function? Their function is to gather in Klal Yisrael and restore them, Leshuva, to return to Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Novi refer to them as Zeru? What does Zeru mean? The opposite of returning, scatters them around. So what's going on? These four, is their job to restore Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, or to the contrary, to scatter them around? So he answered, says the Gemara, Omale. So Rav Chana answered back, Shfil. What does Shfil mean? Go down. Like an onov is called a shofel, low. Go down, Lesefer Dekro. You have to go down, keep reading to the end of that pasuk. It says, and the pasuk says, Vayavoy, Vayavoyu Eile Lahachrid Oysom. These have come to terrify them. Liyadois Eskarnois Hagoyim. To bring down the horns of the nations, Hanoisim Karen, who raise a horn, El Eretz Yehuda Lozoroisa, to disperse it. In other words, who are the horns that are mentioned in this pasuk? The pasuk talks about horns dispersed in Klal Yisrael. So we thought that which horns were they? Mashiach, Eliyot, makes sense. Because their job is not to disperse us, it's the contrary, their job is to gather us back in. If you keep on reading to the end of the pasuk, you'll see that in fact the horns being referred to over here are not Mashiach, to the contrary, they're the Goyim. The Goyim are the ones trying to disperse us. Says Rashi, Shvil the Sefer Dekra, the Elo Akron is that very pasuk. Quote unquote. Soif ha-pasuk. The end of the pasuk. That's why you've got to keep on reading to the end. Hoichiach proves shetchilosoi einoi medaber b'charoshim. Proves that the beginning of the pasuk was never referring to these charoshim, i.e., Mashiach and Eliyahu. Elo ha-umois. Rather, it's referring to the nations of the world. When the Novi asked the Malach, Ma Elah Haroshim, Omar Loi, Elah Akronis, Kloimar, Umois, Halalu, these nations, the Goyim, Asher Zoru, Es Yehuda, Vayavoyu, Elah Haroshim, Lahachrid, Isam Akronis, Liadis, Es Kranois, Hagoyim, it's clearly indicative from the end of the poster that what's being referred to? The Goyim. The Goyim are indeed the ones who scatter Klal Yisrael and do not gather them in. So when he heard that back into the Gemara, Omar Lei, Sir Rav Shesha says back to Rav Chana, wow. The Hadi Chana, he's having a conversation with Rav Chana. The Hadi Chana ba'agadat alomali. Why would I argue with Rav Chana in Agada? I see that you explain the psukim so beautifully that I can't really compete with you. Says Rashi, Shvil, Hashvil atzmacha, lower yourself, letachtis hamikra, to the bottom of the pasuk. What does that mean? L'seifei, to the end. Omer of Sheshet, v'hodi chana ba'agadat alomali, mali etzloi, what am I doing next to him? Ba'agada. Boki hu ba'agada mimeni. He's far greater an expert in Agadaic Gemara's Agadeic text, Sinyonim, than I am, v'loy uchaloy, and I'll never be able to overcome him. So, it's a no battle. He's far greater than me. I see that I struggle to understand this pasuk, because I thought the pasuk was talking about Mashiach. Turns out, from the grave. How do you know? From the end of the pasuk. Wow, I see that he's so great in our Gaza, that quite frankly, there's no dispute over here.
So
no competition.
Yeah,
he didn't understand that the end of the pasuk is a reference to the beginning of the pasuk. That was Rav Chana's apparently great revelation too. Says the Gemara, another pasuk. V'hoya ze shalom Ashur. Kiyovoi ba'aretzenu, I mean Syria, will come to our land. V'chi yidroich ba'armonaseinu v'hakemoinu olav shivoroi mushmoinu nesichei odin. If they try treading upon our palaces, we will set up, says the Navi, shivoroim. What shivoroim? Seven shepherds and eight princes. It's a pasuk in Micha. What does that mean? Who are the seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael? Man ninhu shiva royim. Who are these seven shepherds? Says the Gemara, David v'emisa. David HaMelech is in the middle. Odom, Sheis, u'mesushelach miyaminoi, they're on the right. Avram Yaakov u'moishe b'smoiloi. For some reason, they are considered the seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael. Now, who is obviously missing from this list?
Yitzchak.
Why? Look in Rashi. Rashi says, I don't know why. Look in Rashi. Very, very strange. Shivaroyim Meshmoyim Nesichim. Says Rashi, Loi Yodati Vohem Tam. I don't have a reason why this. Kimuduma Li, it would appear to me, Domrinon Ba'alma, that the people generally say, but I don't know if it's true or not, says Rashi. V'yitzchak Leichon Ozal. Yitzchak, where did he go to? Why does he not appear on this list? Lahatzil Bonov Midino Shel Gehenna. To save his descendants from the din of Gehenna. Kedeksiv Kiata Ovinu. Very, very cryptic. I can't really say I understand. And the truth is, Rashi himself says he doesn't understand. So we're in good company. Finally, what does it mean that in addition to seven shepherds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also set up eight princes for Klal Yisrael? Who are they? Says the Gemara, Ma Ninu Shmoyne Nesiche Adam. Who are the eight princes? Yishai is the father of Melech V'Sho'ol, Ushmuel, Amos, Bitzfania, Sidkiyahu, the six, Umoshiach, seven, the Eliyahu, and Eliyahu. Says Rashi, Amos, Bitzfania, Min HaNaviim Hoyu, they were the Naviim. Adam, Sheis, Musu Sharach, Min HaTzadikim, they were the righteous people, as we know, Sheyu Kerim HaMabu. Shaloi Chotu Ad Doir Enoish. Kedeksev also Mr. Shelach Tzadik Gomorhi. What was unique? What was Mr. Shelach's famous place in history? He lived longer than any other human being in the history of the world. Mr. Shelach lived to 967 years. Nobody lived that long. Imagine. And you recollected, yeah, this was, I remember, I was going back a good 100 years ago or so. Shivas yomim shenitlu ledoir amabu, heini mei evlo isho musu shalach. The mabu was, as it were, put on hold for 7 days, because it says Mr. Shalach died just before. There were 7 days of Shiva, and then the mabu came after that. So a lot of this Gemara is very cryptic, very, very difficult to understand. But let's make a move into the next piece of Gemara, and we'll try and get to the bottom of the Amud as we planned. If you remember, we were discussing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and it says there were four ladders with a pirchei of the Kohenim used to go out with 120 lug of Shemen. Says the Gemara, "V'arba'o yelodim shel pirchei kohuna ubideim kadei shemen shel meiv eschim lug." Ibay Elohu. So we have now, says the Gemara, the following question. What's the question? Sorry, I missed that a line. Arba'os sulamos. I missed out 3 lines. Arba'os sulamos. There were 4 ladders. Tana, Goyva shel menorah, 50 amu. The height of the menorah, which is beautiful to be learning it, because as mamish this week's parsha, is the height of 50 amu. Varba'o yeladim shel perchei kohuna, ubideim kadei shemen shel mev esrim lug. So the Gemara has the following question. Iboy Elohu. Meo ve'estrim lug l'kulhu. Was it 120 lug altogether for all four? I do, but that's kol chad v'chad. Or maybe each one of them had 120, which means there are really 480 in total. Says the Gemara. Says Rashi on the second wide line. L'kulhu. Maybe 120 lug is l'kulu la'arbas hayolodim, all 4 children together, which means to have a shloshim l'kolchad, which means that each one actually only had 30. Says the Gemara, we can prove it because it's clearly written in the Baisa Toshema. Ubi yedeyem, and in their hands, kadei shemen, shal shloshim lug. Well, it's clear. Shehem kulam meil ve'esrim lo. So it's clearly non-negotiable. This is absolutely clear in the Braisa that it was 120 altogether, 30 each. As the Gemara Tam. Vehein meshubachin hoyu yoisa. These Pirchei Kohuna are more praiseworthy mibno than the son of Marta Bas Baisis. What was unique about the son of Marta Bas Baisis? Because Omru al bno shel Marta Bas Baisis, they said about the son of Marta Bas Baisis, shehoyo noitel shtei yereichois shel shoyer hagodel. So he was so strong, he could take two thighs of a shoyer hagodl, of a large ox, shelokuach be'elav zuz, bought for 1,000 zuz. So clearly we're talking about an enormous show. Umahaleich okev b'tzad gredel, and he was able to walk from heel to toe. Normally, as Rashi is going to explain, let's have a look at Rashi. Normally, when you're carrying a heavy load, you sort of totter about and you stumble. You can't, very hard to walk in small, measured, deliberate steps. In this matter, they were more praiseworthy in their koyach, Yosemi Bnei Shel Marta. Because Bnei Shel Marta Bas Baisus Koyen Hoyo. Ekev Betzad Gredel, heel upon toe. Hoylichon Bekevesh Benachas, was able to walk up the ramp. Benachas, what does Benachas mean? Slowly, carefully, deliberately. Ekev Regel Echod, the heel of one foot. Betzad Gredel Shel Chaverto, next the toe of one foot, next the heel of another. The Derech Noisei Masoi, the normal way of carrying a load is larut, to run. Very hard to walk carefully, deliberately, you're busy tottering all over the show. So he was so strong, he was able to walk up the kevesh, carrying this enormous shoyer, and what happened? Walked very, very carefully. These kohenim were stronger than that still. That's what means they were shubach. Says the Gemara, V'loy henichu echo b'kohenim laso iskeim. However, the kohanim did not allow him to do this. In other words, he didn't want him to bring two thighs of a large shoyer onto the mizbeach. Why not? He was so strong that he was able to take two enormous thighs of an enormous ox, single-handed, up in his hair. But it's much more covered for the melech, if what? If several people are involved. And you send a delegation to the melech, more mechubad, more people, not just one person. Says Rashi, third bottom line, V'loi hinichu echav ha-koinim lahoylech shmei avorim. They didn't allow him to transport these two limbs. Rather, they wanted the number which is explained in Gemara and Yuma. It says, Par Korei B'chof Dalet. The cow is sacrificed with how many people? 24. Why? The more people are there, the more mechubad it is for the king. Says the Gemara. In conclusion, says the Gemara, my meshubachim. What exactly does it mean they're more meshubach, they're more praiseworthy? In what aspect? Ilema, if you're going to tell me, mishum yukra. What does it mean, mishum yukra?
Because of the weight, they're stronger.
Now, as you might say, that when they were more praiseworthy, he carried two thighs of an ox. Oh, they were carrying much more oil. Yukra means yokar, weight. The Eilim is from yukra, honey, yukiritzfei. Doesn't make sense. Because actually, two thighs of an ox are heavier than 30 lug of an oil. So you can't say I'm more praiseworthy. He was carrying more than that. Says Rashi, Eim yishum yukra, koived, hamasui, the weight of the load. It can't be. Hani yakiritzfei, shtei yireichos, keilu. Two thighs as these, kevedos are heavier, mishleshim luk, are heavier than 30 luk. So you can't praise the Pirkei Kuna. Wow, look how much they carried. It's even more than the son of Marisus plus Bais. It's not true, he carried more. So that can't be what the praiseworthy aspect is. Says the Gemara, Elahosam, kevesh, umarubo, veloizoki. Because although he carried a heavier load, but it's much easier because it was a gradual incline up the kevesh. Hocha sulamois. But here is up a ladder, the zokif tuban is very upright. Oh, that's a very, very difficult proposition. It might well be that they were carrying less weight wise. But it's easier to carry more if you've got a gradual slope, says Rashi. The last line. Kevesh umaruba. Kevesh hoyo mashapea beshipua. It's up a slope. Oirech, the length, is korav arava amois. Shipua lakol amo, the slope of each amo, is goiva deshtayim veshloisha amo. Oirech letisho goiva. The entire height was 32. Sorry, a length of 9.
Height of 9,
huh? As we said, of the Mizbeach.
Yeah.
It's a height of 9, and a length of the slope was 32 amas long. No, so if you make a cheshbon, if you're traveling horizontally 32 amas, and you're only climbing 9, it's about a 1 in 4 ratio. So for every amma you are climbing, you're actually moving forward 4 ammas. So it's not a very difficult climb. Whereas going up a ladder, which is completely perpendicular, or almost linear, but upright, that's a harder proposition. And that's what the Gemara is saying, the Pirkei Kuna were more mishumachim. Okay, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it here for a few days. Unless you want to join me in London. But failing that, we'll reconvene Be'ez Hashem a week from today. Thursday morning. So I leave it to you, either keep moving in the Gemara or Chazara or both. So Be'ez Hashem Thursday will reconvene.
Are we going to do Chazara on the...
See, your choice.